The following program was taped before an audience of no one.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Jingle bills, jingle bills, jingle all the bills. Bill Curtis, and here is your host, a man as fertile as the plains of Kansas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks as always to our fake audience, which this week are all the people in my head telling me that, yes, my new baby son is, in fact, the finest, most beautiful child to ever be born. It is true, I was out for a couple of weeks because my wife and I had a baby. Both are doing fine, and it'll just be 7 short years until he's the perfect age to appreciate the humor on this show. In the meantime, my sincere thanks to Maz Jobrani, who did such a great job filling in for me that I told the baby he'd have to change his own diapers and ran back before anybody got any ideas. But if you've been waiting to call into our show until I was too sleep-deprived to make any sense at all, now's your chance. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Patty Scarf from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hey, how are things in Kalamazoo? We once had a fine time there doing our show about 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, they're delightful. A bit cold, but it's winter in Michigan.
And what do you do there?
I sell alcohol.
What a great business to be in now.
Wow. So you're a first responder.
You're a frontline worker handling the catastrophe.
I do bring much needed supplies.
Yeah. Well, Patty, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's an actor and writer you might remember from his role as Mike Pence on The President's Show, which is now streaming on CBS All Access. It's Peter Gross.
Hello. Thank you for your service.
Next, a comedian who can be seen in the CBS comedy The Unicorn Season 1 on Netflix and host of the trivia podcast Go Fact Yourself on the Maximum Fun Network. It's Helen Hong!
Patty, you're doing God's work. Thank you.
And an author and humorist on a leave of absence to spend more time with his beard. It's Tom Beaudet.
Oh, Patty.
So, Patty, you're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 quotations we found in the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just 2 of them, you will win our prize. Any voice from our show you might choose in your voicemail. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here is your first quote.
You didn't flinch.
That was Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York on Monday talking to the first American to get what this week?
The coronavirus vaccine.
Yes, the coronavirus vaccine, the only liquid more valuable in this crisis than alcohol. The coronavirus vaccines were finally delivered this week, with news channels showing live shots of planes carrying it, landing at airports, UPS trucks waiting to, you know, carry it away. We all remember where we were when the first crates of vaccines were delivered. We were at home, where we have been for 9 months. But finally, on Monday, we got to watch as the first healthcare workers got their shots. They were smiling, they rubbed their arms, then they slowly transformed into vampires. Damn it, we really should not have rushed this.
You know what? I was really reticent about getting it, but then I saw online they gave it to Ian McKellen, Sir Ian McKellen, and if it's good enough for Gandalf, yep. All right, sign me
Wait
up.
A minute. Gandalf doesn't need the vaccine. Yes. Can he just, like, pound his
white
walking
sword.
Stick into the ground?
Yes. You shall not infect me.
Now, right now, of course, as I'm sure you all saw on TV, the vaccine is going to medical professionals, other frontline workers. That's terrible for us normals. We'll be last in line. And what if when we get the vaccine, all they have left is like the markdown irregular vaccines? Like, wait, this says it prevents Barona virus?
I'm going to get Walvax.
So most of us will be waiting for months to get this thing we desperately want. It's like a PlayStation 5 that hurts.
It would be interesting if there was a list of everybody in the country and it was like not just by group, but they were like, okay, first the president, the vice president, then all the way down. And you could really tell, like, I'm behind this guy named Gary Williams. He lives in Phoenix. I guess he's like, his heart is a little worse than mine, so I guess he'll get it before me.
You call that a heart condition? I'll show you a heart condition.
It'd be worth doing an alphabetical order so that Mark Zuckerberg goes last, I guess.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
The CDC, of course, is working on their messaging to get people to accept the vaccine. We are Americans, after all. We don't like things like vaccines, so they're going to call it the Doritos Modernos Locos vaccine.
Modernos Locos is pretty...
They need new ranch flavor.
I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'm getting the double vaccine with cheese.
The Oreo Big Stuff vaccine.
It's the double stuffed vaccine.
Double stuffed vaccine. I'm getting Pfizer and Moderna.
Yeah. Patty, here is your next quote.
Today, I want to congratulate President-elect Joe Biden.
That was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Was he speaking this week or 6 weeks ago when Joe Biden actually won the election?
Unfortunately, this week.
Yes, he spoke this week. 40 days after Mr. Biden won the presidency, he won the presidency again for something like the 3 dozenth time this week when the Electoral College formally met and voted. Was Trump talking to Biden when he said, "You'll get tired of all the winning"? Like they say, it's not over till it's over 42 times in a row. Somewhere a very hoarse fat lady is saying, "What more do you people want?"
I didn't realize it was 40 days. It was actually 40 days.
It's very biblical.
That means
it?
That Mitch McConnell, he just gave up being a responsible person for Lent. Apparently, he just like shifted it early.
Now, of course, because the election has actually been over, the president-elect has been naming his cabinet. Former Governor Tom Vilsack was named Agriculture Secretary, beating out Representative Gerald Nadler, who, like Tom Vilsack, has a name that sounds like testicles. But the big news this week was former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He was named Secretary of Transportation. That is historic. He is the first openly gay cabinet secretary and also the first ever transportation secretary not old enough to drive.
Yeah, he's going to like convert like electric. It's not going to be any like electric buses and stuff. It's going to be all big wheels.
His first initiative is going to be find out while trains in the real world don't have faces on them.
I want to ask a serious question.
You may.
About Pete Buttigieg. What qualifies somebody like him, in all seriousness, to be Secretary of Transportation? Just like a general competence? Like, what does it actually take?
Well, first of all,
he clearly has no experience.
People say he doesn't know anything about transportation. That's not true. He's from Indiana. He knows what the American public wants, which is to drive through Indiana as quickly as possible.
He's going to raise the speed limit in Indiana to 100 miles an hour.
No, actually, a number of people pointed this out, that one of the things that qualifies Mayor Pete, or soon to be Secretary Pete, to be Secretary of Transportation, is that he is, in fact, a nerd. He just loves minutiae and policy. Ooh. One of the things he loved to talk about is about the smart sewage system that they had installed in South Bend. And the idea is anybody who'd get so excited about a smart digitized sewer system is just the guy to handle like complicated, boring infrastructure projects.
Yeah. Is a smart sewage system the same as a sentient sewage system?
It'll tell you when you need more fiber in your diet.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Patty, we have one more quote for you. Here it is.
It's still beautiful. It's just skinnier and smaller and shorter than normal.
That was a person quoted in the Wall Street Journal describing what they'd be decorating this Christmas, thanks to a big shortage of what?
Christmas trees.
Christmas trees. There is a big shortage of Christmas trees. There's a rush on them. People really want something to celebrate. Christmas trees are selling for as much as $1,800. Trees
what?
Are so hard to find. People are instead putting their ornaments and tinsel on COVID vaccines. Prices have increased, they say, over 50% for the popular Fraser fir and 40% for the slimmer but more particular Niles fir.
There you go.
$1,800 for a Christmas tree?
Yeah,
are you
people
serious?
Just want to feel normal. They want to feel Christmassy.
The Christmas tree from the Peanuts sold for $5,000. That's how in demand they are.
People are so desperate because they can't get trees that they're doing things like putting a red and white suit on a Lazy Boy and pretending it's Santa Claus. Go ahead, kids, sit in Santa's lap. Hey, pull Santa's handle. Now, it may seem like a problem, but there is a solution. We use one holiday's problems to solve another's. Remember all those surplus turkeys that no one was buying because Thanksgiving's got canceled? Well, introducing the gaily decorated Christmas raw turkey. Hey, kids, your presents are just inside next to the giblets. Go get them.
Yeah, we got a 16-pound tree. That's pretty good. Normally, we get a 22-pound tree, but there's not many people. So,
it's a great tree. It'll serve a whole family. It's amazing. Bill, how did Patty do on our quiz?
Perfect from Kalamazoo. Good going, Patty.
Congratulations. What, do you have a particular cocktail as an alcohol salesperson to celebrate a win?
Yeah, I'm a whiskey drinker. So
absolutely, as we all are slowly becoming. Patty, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Patty.
I'm the happiest Christmas tree. Oh, ho, ho, he, he. Someone came and they found me and took me home with them. Oh.